On the fourth Sunday of Advent, we light the candle of love. It is the love of God that makes Christmas possible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Today, just 5 days before Christmas, we focus on love. In John's Gospel, we are reminded that people will know to whom we belong to by the way we love. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. We have read about love, sung about love, written stories, books, plays, musicals, and movies about love. We long for love and to be loved. The message of Christmas is we are loved. We are deeply loved. We are loved by God who created us, and God's love is contagious. A bell is not a bell until you ring it. A song is not a song until you sing it. The love in your heart was not put there to stay. Love is not love until you give it away. God gave his love by sending his Son. We give our love by sharing the good news with others that a Savior, who is Christ the Lord, has come to all the people. Today we light the fourth candle of Advent, the candle of love.
And now peace, hope, joy, and love surround the Christ candle. And on Christmas Eve, we will gather and we shall light the Christ candle as we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior. We're delighted that you're here worshiping with us. If you're here for the first time, we'd love for you to fill out one of our guest cards. They're in the back of the pew in front of you. Place that in the offering when it comes around, and again, we're glad that you're here. It's good to see our numbers increasing in Sunday school, and it's good to see our worship center full. As we move toward the Christ of Christmas, may we invoke his presence now in our presence as we worship him. Would you pray with me? Oh God, at this next hour, we would turn all of our energy to listen to you, to realize your power and presence in our life, to deal honestly with areas of our life that we need to give you a greater sense of ownership, more control. To receive your forgiveness and let it so overflow in our hearts that we forgive others. If we would pause and realize that Christmas was that moment in time when a Savior, when the Savior, when the only Savior of the world was born, our Savior. Oh God, should we do that for this next hour, you would begin to make those changes in our heart and in our life and in our thinking that we need you to make, that we could be more like you. And God, we just pray that now as we worship you, as we praise you, as we sing the angel song, that we too would be surrounded by peace and hope and joy and love when you are centered in our life. It is in Christ's name we make our prayer. Amen.
Our first carol today really tells a story. Please pay attention to the words as we sing it, because it has a whole range of emotions. Number 98, let's stand as we sing. I heard the bells on Christmas Day.
I heard the bells on Christmas Day. And all the men, girls, play. And what a sweet Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Lord, we thank you for another beautiful day today, another chance to gather and worship you. We ask that you be with all the people on the prayer list and those who are not on the prayer list who are in need. We ask that you take this offering and use it to further thy kingdom. In the holy name we pray. Amen.
Might not be exactly what you were thinking. You ever seen a bottle like that?
What's inside? A what? A note? There was a movie a long time ago called Message in a Bottle. And I remember when I was a kid, folks that were on deserted islands, they would take a note. Had a cork like this one, and throw it in there. Well, this is indeed a bottle of love, but I don't pour it out because love, the word love means constant. That means all the time. And affection means warm feelings toward each other. So love is a constant warm feeling toward, in our case here today, God. That's what Christmas is really all about. And so, let's see what the message says. Read it for me. I hope we can see it. It's all sprinkled up there. say it together? For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world that He gave His Son. That's what Christmas is about. That's the greatest Christmas gift. That's why we celebrate Christmas. That's part of the reason we even give gifts at Christmas, is to remember that God gave us the great love. And He didn't give it to us in a bottle, but He gave it to us in His Son, who came that we might live forever with Him in heaven. That's a great message. Let's pray. God, thank You for these marvelous children. It is good to see their presence here today. It is good to share with them the most important thing about Christmas is that You loved us so much. Lord, as we continue to praise You and show You that we constantly have strong affections for You, may You receive our love. In Jesus' name.
Shepherds came to see the baby, stood by His mother's side. Here lay the Savior inside a manger. Oh, what a glorious night! Oh, what a glorious night! I hear the angels singing, Alleluia, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now, sing it out, Jesus Christ is born, Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds wondered, they couldn't hide it, told everyone inside. All were amazed when they heard how God came down on this glorious night. God came down on this glorious night. Hallelujah, let the earth receive her King. I know that love has come now. Sing it out, Jesus.
The king is sleeping.
Oh, what a glorious night.
Oh, what a glorious night.
Thank you guys for sharing that. It was a glorious night, and for over 2,000 years we still celebrate that night. I hope that you will take time to be here at 7 o'clock on Christmas Eve. We're going to have carols, candlelight, and communion in the service that night, and promises to be a real worshipful time. Let's stand and sing another four of our carols, the first verse only, starting with number 85, the first Noel.
Thank you.
Let me invite you to look at our prayer concerns and note the folks that we have listed there, and ask if you would be remembering them. It's good to see Phil with us in worship today. Phil Cotton, who's been in the hospital with a stroke earlier last Sunday and doing well. We're excited you're here with us, Phil. Also like to add the name of Frank Griffin. He's going to be having some tests done in the morning. Just keep Frank lifted up in your prayers. Be remembering the Foster Mason family in your prayers and the Brenda Harris family also in your prayers. And you see Trevor's name there. We're still waiting for some tests. He'll be going back. We're hoping that the platelets continue to go up. Pray for platelets to go up and stay up. That's how you pray specifically in this particular case. Others are there. Michelle, we're glad she's with us. You see all those names. Remember our choir tonight, as they will be sharing with us the cantata. I know that you'll want to come and be a part of that as well. Let's pray together. God, there's power in prayer. And right now, nearly 200 of us are gathering together our hearts and uniting them in this moment. We're praying together. We're praying for each other and with each other. What power. For prayer, Lord, is conversation with you. And when we focus our thoughts upon you, our desires, our hopes, our peace, our joy, and our love. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. Lord, we've mentioned the names, and there's a long list, some on an ongoing list we've been praying for a long time. Part of our divine assignment each Sunday is this prayer list. So, Lord, today we just begin to pray for these. And God, we have sung what the angels sung. Glory to the newborn King. Help us as we continue to think of the angel song. Speak to us that we might be better equipped to speak your name in our life and living this week. In Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you, choir. And thank you, guys. You're scattered everywhere. The Sunday before Christmas. Turn with me. Where else but to Luke chapter 2. We know that in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed or registered or counted, part of a census. We're going to begin to read today with what most time we focus on the shepherds, but not today. Today, instead, we're going to focus on the angel song. We've looked at Elizabeth's song and Mary's song and Zachariah's song, and on this, the last Sunday, the angels, their song. The song that we just sang, our last carol, Hark, the Herald Angels Sing. Glory to the newborn King. Their song should always be our song. Luke chapter 2. We'll read verses 8 and we'll read all the way through verse 20. If you're able, I would invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were filled with fear, and the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And suddenly, a cantata is about to break out. There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. And the King James says, in peace on earth, goodwill to men. Verse 15, when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? God, would you, for just a moment, let us imagine, God, what that tune might have been the angels sang. Oh, if we could just hum that tune. And those words, glory to you. Glory to you, oh God, might constantly and affectionately roll in our heart and in our mind. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. The gift of Christmas. A time of celebration and also a time of distress. I guess one church might have gotten it right when they put on their sign, Merry Christmas to our Christian friends, Happy Hanukkah to our Jewish friends, and to our atheist friends, good luck. What is Christmas without Christ? Oh, this is the Sunday before Christmas. The angels. They had a word for us. They knew we'd be worshiping here. And they knew that we had faced the week that we've just faced. And they knew we needed to sing their song. Oh, there was never a more powerful group of carolers than those that caroled for the shepherds. Let's look at their song. The lyrics, if you will. The first one that grabs us is that word glory. Glory. An expression of praise. An expression of love. You see, praise is the logical, it's logical expression of grateful heart. If someone pulled you from a raging river and saved your life, you would not be slow to tell that story. And others would come, if they came and saw you still dripping wet on the banks, and they said, "What happened?" You'd say, "You won't believe, I was in the river and I was about to drown, and so-and-so dove in the river risking their own life and they pulled me to safety." You'd be singing glory. Praise is a logical expression of a grateful heart. I love what we talked about today in the Baptist men's group. Davis shared with us that prayer is never in the head, it's always in the heart. I never thought of it quite that way until I began to think about it that way. And he had looked up Ian Bounds, and Bounds said that head knowledge, and I began to think when he said this, head knowledge can motivate the pulpit, and it can motivate the pew. And I couldn't help but think about glory, because if we leave today with only head knowledge, we won't be moved to change. It will be an intellectual exercise, kind of like our politics or our favorite sports team. Something to talk about, but not very life-changing. Now, if the Panthers lose today, I'll be sad. But I won't be changed, you know? I mean, I'll be real sad. I'm pulling for them. I don't want them to lose. They're undefeated, for you who don't follow football. But let's say they get beat 150-0. I don't think that's going to happen. And I will probably, I DVR all their games. I'll watch it. I'll watch it in fast forward. That's the only way to watch football, folks. You DVR that bad boy. And you can, I mean, I go from, I don't even stop at the huddle. I go straight to the line of scrimmage. And I can watch the whole game about 20 minutes. That's the way you watch football. And I, oh man, why did he throw that? I can't believe he lost. I will be upset. It will occupy some of my thoughts. Some of my thought, because you see, I am a head fan. I'm not a heart fan. I wouldn't pay $200 to go see them play if they played in Deep River. I just wouldn't do it. But I'll watch them on TV as long as it's free. I watch them, and I pull for them. I'm a head knowledge fan. Doesn't matter to me whether they lose. My salary, unlike some of them, won't be affected. My tomorrow, I'll probably talk about it. I'll say, "Man, do you believe Cam threw that ball there? What in the world happened? Keekly just couldn't get off the ball at all." I'll talk about it like I know some stuff, you know. You'll think I know football when you hear me talk. But I'm just a head fan. You see where I'm going with this? Today, if you're a head fan of God, it's something to talk about. And something for a couple of minutes of your time to even occupy your time. And yeah, I even care about it. But it doesn't change me. Glory, praise, that logical expression of a grateful heart. You ever noticed that people like to name drop? You know what that term means? That's actually a term, name drop. That if you're with somebody, a celebrity, a sports celebrity, or a Hollywood celebrity, or a political celebrity, you know, if I see you and you come up and say, man, you won't believe, but yesterday I was with Cam Newton. I really was. No, you weren't. Why do we like to do that? I don't think anybody gets it. Man, you won't believe what happened yesterday. I was with Gary McCullough. I don't think anybody ever does that. You ought to. But you don't. Why? Why would it be that Cam Newton, it's probably on your Facebook page. I was with Cam Newton. Look, I got a picture. You know, you could all have a selfie with me when we leave today. Put that on your Facebook page. But I guarantee you, if Cam Newton were here and you're a Carolina fan, there would be selfies forever on your Facebook page. Why? Why are we name droppers? Why do we like that? You ever thought about it? It's because that's how God created us. He created us to give glory. We are created to give glory. And sometimes we mess it up. And we give glory to the wrong thing, to the wrong person, to the wrong idea. The angel said, glory, where? To God, where? In the highest. Glory to God. That's what Christmas is about. Giving glory to God. Oh, that special cantata was to express that even though the King of Kings was currently residing in a barn behind the Bethlehem Inn, it was still the greatest, most significant historical event in all of history. That was it. Glory to God in the highest. What's the single most important historical event in your life? That moment will determine where your glory goes. Glory to God. God is the focus of Christmas. Not in America. We're too easily confused. A few years ago, James Fallow was a Far Eastern correspondent. And he made a comment in one of the articles that he wrote that the Americans have exported our confusion of Christmas all the way to Japan, because in one Japanese department store, he came across a display featuring Santa Claus holding the infant Jesus behind a sleigh being pulled by 7 dwarfs. You see, he just got it all mixed up. But we do that. You know, I've never heard anybody say, I am so frustrated at Christmas because I just can't worship enough. But I've heard them say, I'm frustrated at Christmas because the children won't do right. So-and-so was supposed to be here and they didn't bring the ham. So-and-so, I couldn't get the lights. I even heard of one family that rode around Crabtree for 30 minutes and never did find a parking place. Things will frustrate you. But what's Christmas about? Glory to God. Glory to God. To God. To God. You didn't hear me. To God. That's what Christmas is about. On this Sunday before Christmas, let's make sure we're not confused. Christmas was about bringing His salvation to a world that needs to be saved. When we focus on God, then praise, singing glory, that is our natural response. When we focus on anything else, then God seems to be a problem. Dare I ask, can God be a problem this Christmas for you? It brings me to my last thought, the gift. Glory to God. The goodwill to men are those who find favor. You see, the idea of peace on earth, that very word, we think of peace as the absence of war. But when you look at it in the Greek, what he was actually talking about was the peace of one's spirit, and we would call that salvation. That's the gift of Christmas. It is salvation. It is that we who live in mortal bodies and will one day die and one day stand before God. And we will give an account for what we did with the Christ of Christmas. And those of us who find favor, how do you find favor? I'm glad you asked. You find favor by making sure you have committed yourself to love the Lord with all your heart, mind, and spirit. The gift of Christmas is salvation. Today you can have it. Many of us here already have it. Many of us already have our names recorded in the Lamb's Book of Life. We have already settled that debt. But if you're here today and you don't know it, then today you can find favor with God to receive and share that gift of Christmas, to receive salvation, that life-changing salvation, that salvation that changes you. And if it doesn't change you, and if you haven't been changed, and you're the only one that can take that honest inventory, if you really haven't been changed by your faith, then is it a head knowledge or is it a heart knowledge? Receiving and sharing the gift of Christmas. That gift. I want to end it with this morning with a thought of the innkeeper. You remember the innkeeper? That guy, we'll make him a guy. it was a stressful time and all over Israel. It was stressful because they realized they were forced to go by the Roman government to give an account, and that account wasn't a census so they could offer more programs to help the Israelites. No, that program was so they could make sure they were receiving enough money and taxes for the Roman government. So they were already unhappy about it. And now being there, and now Bethlehem, this little sleepy town Bethlehem, that one the prophet said that the Messiah would come from, by the way, is stressed out. When we think of a small, quaint town, we might think of something like Sanford or Lillington, but Bethlehem at this time, in ancient days, there was no running water. There was no electricity. Travel was by foot most often. And those who were better off might have a beast of burden, a donkey, a horse, a camel. And now, because of the journey that Joseph has made with his pregnant wife to be, Mary, they get there when the inn is full. Well, what about the innkeeper? Should he have kicked somebody out and given them a room? I don't know. Maybe. Was he a good guy? When you go home, Google and you can watch it on YouTube. If you don't know how to do YouTube, go to somebody who does. Or you can go and buy it. But buy John Piper's The Innkeeper. It's about an 11-minute long poem, and Piper actually reads it on YouTube as a gift from the publisher, Crossroads. And he tells a fantasy story of the innkeeper. One you've probably never thought about. I never had till I read that poem. And he shows the innkeeper to be a good guy, a great guy. And he connects in a bizarre way, but a powerful way, the tragedy of Christmas. Do you know the tragedy of Christmas? You're aware of the tragedy of Christmas? We don't hardly ever preach on it, and I don't know that I ever have at Christmas. In fact, this may be the first time I'm even mentioning it at Christmas. But do you remember what Herod did after the wise men left? And he was so afraid that a king would come. He sent his guard to Bethlehem. You remember what they did? Do you remember the atrocity that they did? Do you remember the evil that our scripture says they did? They killed every child under the age of 2. Horrid. Piper connects that story 2 weeks before the crucifixion of Christ with Christ and the innkeeper that he names Jacob. In his story, you'd do well to go home and watch that. Was he a good guy? Well, Piper thinks so, and I like to think Piper might be right. But most often we think of the innkeeper as kind of a bad guy, kind of a ruthless merchant. I don't know who wrote this little poem, but I don't know. I'm going to remain neutral on the innkeeper. I like Piper's story. But hear this story because I think it says a message. It gives a message in this little poem. It's called The Ode to the Innkeeper. The innkeeper stands. He's guarding the door. He's got all he wants. He has room for no more. Oh, yes, there's a stable not fit for a king. Have that if you like. It doesn't mean a thing. But don't come inside. I've so much to do. I haven't the time to listen to you. A night to remember. The skies were aglow. The shepherds excited in stable below. But the innkeeper lay in his comfortable bed and turned to his wife and happily said, "It's been a good day, dear. The mortgage is paid. It seems that we our fortune have made." Down in the stable, mystery dawns. The young baby stretches and placidly yawns. B.C. becomes A.D. The calendar's changed. History's structure is now rearranged. But the innkeeper sleeps till morning light. He has no idea what happened that night. Wise men arrive at the pull of a star. Bowing in deep homage, they've come from afar. Retrace their steps, having heard from above. Rejoice in the blessing of God and His love. But the innkeeper's busy checking his wealth. Nothing to give. He only thinks of himself. The story of Advent has stayed through the years. The birth of a Savior has scattered our fears. Thousands of folk have now come to the light. Because of the events of that glorious night. But the innkeeper continues as he did before, not knowing that God has knocked on his door. Innkeepers today may be in this place. Accepting the Lord might make you lose face. You think you're okay, it's nothing to you. Surely God has something better to do. He knocks on the door. Your excuse is so thin. Can you still say there's no room in the inn? Goodwill. Isn't that our call, church? To share the love of Christ. That is our call. I know it is. I've read it in the book. I know it is. Christ came, as I shared with the children, his love was for the world that he gave his son. The angels sing glory to God for his gift. Today, on the last Sunday before Christmas, are we singing glory to God? For the gift of Christmas. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, in this moment of decision. We're challenged about prayer and about service and about love. For it is easy for it to remain an exercise of our head. But we are told to love the Lord our God with all and our heart. Is our heart in Christmas this year? Are we able to insulate our genuine understanding of Christmas from everything around us? Are we able to hear the commercial jingles but to sing the angel song? Lord, you know our challenge. And on this Sunday before Christmas, when we too sing glory to you, our God, in the highest, and may your favor rest upon those with whom you are pleased. Oh God, we pray for your favor to rest upon us, your salvation. And not only may it rest upon us, but as Maureen reminded us, the love in our heart, it's not put here to stay. We find our fulfillment in our agape love, our Christian love, when we give it away. Help us to be sharing your love with others. And now we make decisions. Choices. Choices about where our glory will go. About who our God is. And about the most important gift of Christmas. Your Son, our Savior. If there's one here, Lord, who doesn't know you in the pardon and forgiveness of their sins, then today could be the day of your peace. Of your joy, of your hope, and of your love, of your salvation. And if there's one of us here today who do know you and love you, but today you have pricked our very spirit to say to us, oh, I realize that journey between my head and heart, I haven't been traveling it near enough. And today I want to make room in my life with no excuses. To love you with all. You know the need of every heart. You know the choice of every person. And you, oh God, know how the decisions that we make right now will impact this week and the rest of eternity. Help us as we give ourselves to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn, our hymn of decision, is The Birthday of a King, page 102. This morning, if you need to make some choice, and we all need to make some choice about our walk with God, this is the perfect time to do that as we stand together.
I'm going to read out everybody's name. Seven more. I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not. Tonight, you need to be here. Choir works hard, and they will bless our hearts with music, and we will worship our King again through the music. Remember our Christmas Eve service. It's going to be different this year. We're going to do a walking communion again. And so, well, I've got small children, they can't take communion here, right? They haven't been baptized, they can't. But we're also going to give them out a candle for the last part of the service, and they can come with you to communion, and they can get a candle. The candlelight service. It's going to be a beautiful time. It's going to be just a wonderful time. Lord, you can come casual if you want to. Of course, some of you come casual whether you want to or not. But yeah, you can come. It's just, my goodness. We try to do it early one time, but 7 o'clock it seemed to be the right time that families can still do their Christmas Eve and get there. But, and I do understand. You have family gatherings. I do understand that. I imagine some churches do a midnight service, so you go to one of them. You can't get ours at 7 o'clock. But make sure you worship on Christmas Eve. And I encourage everybody on Christmas morning, before you open the presents, read the Christmas story. Luke 2. If you want to do it all, go over to Matthew 2 as well. And read about those wise guys over there. But do that if you can. It's in the our blood drive is going to be January 27th. That's not in the rules. I just want to get that on your agenda now. Some call and say, I didn't see it, but we're going to do one here on the 22nd. Other announcements are in your bulletin. I hope that you do. Any announcement we need to make? Thank you for being here today. It looks good when the worship center is full. Your presence is powerful, and God uses it. Thank you for being here today. And now as we leave this place, and we do so in God's peace, in God's power, and in God's abiding presence. We might be as people in this world. Would you pray? Lord, help us to sing the angel songs, not only between now and Christmas, but all through 2016. May you strengthen us that song might be in our head and in our heart.
Christ's love.